Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, November the 21st, 2023, and this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio, and you can join us by dialing 347-857-3293, and tonight I'm your host, Betty Davis, and Brother Ralph Pointer sends his regards. As we have been saying recently, Brother Ralph has had a series of health crises, but we are certain that he is a warrior and he will be joining us next week. The operations so far have been a success, and although he is speaking, he's not speaking with enough volume to join us this evening. However, as you know, if you received our emails and our Facebook messages, tonight's topic is about American history. And this theme was suggested by Comrade Ralph Pointer. American history equals the new lies covering the previous lies. I'll say it again. American history is about new lies covering previous lies. For example, Thanksgiving. And we have many special guests who are going to help us discuss and explore this topic. One of the points we want you to come away with in this program is that this is a news analysis. It's an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. It's an anatomy of the American Holocaust capitalist system. And if you know that and you know anything about American history, you know Columbus did not discover this place, that there were several nation states in place when the first European stepped on this particular continent, and that it is in response to this vicious colonialism that people like Leonard Peltier ended up being political prisoners. And we're very honored tonight to have people who will be speaking to this issue, speaking truth to power. However, before we go to our poetry, which we always do to honor Sister Lynn, I just want to share some thoughts that Brother Ralph would like you to think about when you're off the program. It's something like his prophecy. And what he wants you to, how shall we say, recognize urgently is that no one is paying attention. The greatest change ever in 2,000 years, ecologically and economically, is taking place. We are in a state of total chaos. Because it is total chaos, we don't know or recognize what and where and how everything is happening all around us. However, what he said with his low timbre voice, as long as we breathe, as long as we have the breath of life, chaos may be happening all around us. But as long as we have breath, it can be stopped. And he said, just as the Crusades changed everything, genocide is among us once again. And those of us who still have a breath and can raise a fist must do something about it. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Professor Louis, because as you know, it is our tradition to always start off with poetry, and that is the way we honor Sister Lynn. And again, I want to thank all of you who joined us this evening. Professor Louis, your mic is open.
May we all have the grace to think about race, to put it in place, look it right in the face. I don't got the space to trace the full case. But who made up the idea, and is it new that I'm completely different from you? If I got dark eyes and you got blue, no one says boo. And it's true, some got blonde hair, some got brown. It don't stop nobody from coming around. But how to begin to check out the shape we're in on account of different color skin, health, housing, jobs, education, who owns the plantation, who gets the frustration, and which formation gets to run the nation. Racism might not be wise, but it buys and decides who lives or dies. A rich mixed couple got a mixed race baby. Woman in Harlem has a black baby. Both babies are one half white. Two babies' opportunities like day and night. For the Harlem baby, there is no maybe. He could say he's mixed till he goes crazy, because he looks like Jay-Z. The mixed race baby's not to blame. He looks exactly the same. He's going Ivy League and got a claim to fame. And some white people are out the park, because they're way more dark than light-skinned black people who carry the mark of being black. When it's a fact, if you look their way, there's darker white people every day. And that dark Latino guy, tell me why. He's either Hispanic or black. White Mexican guy is always sent back. His kid speaks English, so he could be white. He's Roberto, but Robert makes him light and keeps him out of fights. Information not in your graduation. Africa got white people to the fifth generation. What's the formulation of his designation? If he's not African, what is his nation? Lions and tigers are both big cats, but they can't make babies, and that's that. No black and orange lions, that's a fact. But Anglo-Saxons and Africans make it together. Chinese and Eskimos make babies forever, because human beings are all one species. Nephews and nieces, same smelly feces. We're not divided up like Reese's Pieces. There are two kids in my own family. You can't define them easily. They're one-fourth Nepalese, more or less Indian, one-fourth Anglo-Saxon by way of Ireland. One-fourth of them comes from Peru. The last one-fourth, Ashkenazi Jew. When the census comes, what the heck? Don't break your neck. Which freaking box are these kids going to check? Don't need a book to look. It's smack in your face. There is only one human race, but racism got a different story. It was made up for the glory of one over another, for one to breathe and the other to smother. Right now, today, in the USA, you're either white or black. You hear come in or you hear get back. White gets the cocaine, black gets the crack. Try to avoid it with all your might. Here, you're either black or white, because white people made it up long ago. So they made white up high and black down low, from slavery to Jim Crow to mass incarceration, the continuation of the situation passed through the generations right from the jump. You're a champ or a chump. It rolled right on with Donald Trump. And when white working people get kicked around, we're told it's the fault of the black and the brown, when it's the super rich white guy holding us down. So it's good to know, wherever we go, race is a made-up thing. It's not something solid you bring like your ding-a-ling. You could feel for real. It's a load of crap. But racism, we got to deal with wherever we're at. That guy on the street, how'd you know he comes from Africa when no one said so? Head to toe, he's darker than black people you see every day. Did you think about that, or just leave it lay? Or do you pray it all goes away? And if black people here got some white in them, do white people here got some black in them? And did white slave owners make it with African women? We know it happened, not at a minimum. It's not an act, it's a stone-cold fact. That's what Thomas Jefferson did. This guy owned people who were his own kids. Did he take a sample of his own example, or was he tripping on NyQuil when he wrote the sequel, All Men Are Created Equal? The darkest people on this earth, dark from birth. They're at the bottom of Africa. For what it's worth, go north to Ethiopia. If you don't got myopia, walk in the park. People there are a little less dark. Further north, you get Egyptians. Their descriptions, they're brown people, with some exceptions. That's their complexions. A little more north, Sicilians and Greeks, dark with curly hair. Even the geeks and even the freaks. All the way north, you get the Swede, blonde hair, blue eyes, super light indeed. It all goes gradual, from hot to cold. You could look till you get old, search day and night. No clear line between black and white. So race is made up to make you pay. But no matter what you say, racism does not go away. Race is bullshit through and through. Racism, we got to deal with, both me and you, and may we have the grace to think about race, to put it in place, look it right in the face. I didn't have the space to trace the full case, but I tried to say something about race.
Wow. You know Ralph would love to have heard that one again. Thank you so much, Professor Louis. We so appreciate the reality of one of the tools of fascism and capitalism, which is racism, which is an imperial construct that started by the Europeans as they moved across the globe, exterminating as they went. Thank you. We're going to move right along because we have quite a list of people. I want to remind you that the theme tonight really deals with the lies of American history. And what it is, the new lies covering the previous lies. And one of the biggest lies is the so-called concept of Thanksgiving. And so we have a special guest this evening. We are indebted to our brother Kazi for enabling us to have this person on, Maketa Peltier. It is an honor to have you. I welcome you on behalf of Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. Your mic is open.
Thank you for allowing me to speak here on behalf of my father. You know, this theme of Thanksgiving has always been something that we both, my father and I, have both despised, I guess is the word. Because it shows it's not about giving thanks for anything, especially when it comes to, like, Native people. You know, they in the poem, it states how it goes. These Europeans came across the globe and started destroying these civilizations. And like you had mentioned, you know, before Christopher Columbus stumbled upon us here in the Northern Hemisphere, there were literally millions of natives from Canada down, and when they got done with the colonization, there was less than a million left of us. And so my dad, you know, when I was young, I didn't understand why, he chose to sit. And it's not that it was his choice, but what he chose to do is stand up for his people, because after all the genocide that my people went through, when they dwindled us down to practically nothing, you know, we lost a lot of our culture, a lot of our heritage because of that. All the way up to generations, to my grandmother's generation, my mother's generation, they all suffered at the hands of these leaders, so-called leaders that were just basically lying to us about everything. And, you know, and so my dad, he took it not just upon himself, but as a representative of Native people throughout, you know, the United States and Canada, to stand up and fight, because we have to join together, all people, to understand. And what we have to do is get them the knowledge out there in order for us to unite, because it's not about, you know, one race fighting against the government. It's about all of us fighting against the government. All
right
of us
on.
Together. You know, they destroyed so many cultures, so many languages, and, you know, and it's taking years, it's going to take more years to fight to change and bring back some of that tradition that we lost along the way. And unfortunately, because my father decided to, you know, enough was enough at that point in the 70s, he stood with the American Indian movement, and, you know, along with many other soldiers, fought the United States, you know, the government here to just get acknowledgement that we are here, still here, that we're still alive, and that we are, you know, native to this land, that we should be respected. After hundreds of years of being destroyed, they need to understand that we can't sit back and just let this happen anymore. Because at the end, if that were the case, you know, that my father sitting in prison for over 45 years would be in vain, and it would be a tragedy for that to happen.
Well, what I want you to do tonight, and I want to thank you on behalf of everyone on this program and in my family and the rest of the people's families that are on this call, from our family to your family, we want you to tell us what we can do to further support this initiative to free Leonard Peltier. Tell us where to call. Tell us what activities you have coming up. I believe there's a special program coming up soon. I know tomorrow night on BAI, the Universe Willing, we're going to do a follow-up on this program, and we're calling it The Holocaust That Is Called a Holiday. And one of our guests will be Joelle Clark, Kills Crow Indian, and her friends and perhaps a few attorneys. But you tell me, give us our marching orders, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it. And the support that we've been given throughout the years is overwhelming, and it keeps me going day by day, you know, and I'm sure it keeps my dad going day by day, because he's the one sitting there behind bars struggling. But all I always tell everybody is call the White House. Call the White House and demand his freedom. That's all we can do at this point, is come together, flood the White House so they can stop and take a look again, you know, and really take an honest-to-God look at what they've done to my dad over these last 45 years, his sitting in prison, because he's done plenty of time, I mean, to make up for whatever it is they want made up for. You know, my point being is that to this day, three people died that day back in the 70s, back in 1975. Three people died that day, but there's only one man sitting in prison for those two deaths of the FBI agents, and nobody's ever been tried for the death of Joe Stuntz. He was a warrior that fought and died the same day. You know, and so my thing is we need to get the attention of the White House to understand that it's time to let my dad go. There's a number. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I will get it to you before the end of the show.
Well, I'm sure Ken is on the call, and Brother Kazi, and also we have Ohio Jericho in the house. So somebody from Jericho will have that number. Don't stress yourself over that. What's important is your testimony about this continued injustice. I mean, they set the crazies, the Manson family is free. John Brinkley, who shot the chief executive is free, and Peltier, who is innocent, is still in the death camp. So
yes.
I want to thank you for that. Is there anything else you would like to add before we go to the next speaker?
I just thought we keep my dad in your prayers, and, you know, for his health and for his freedom as well. And I just want to say thank you again for allowing me this opportunity to speak on behalf of my father.
Okay. Please remember this number, 347-857-3293. Any Tuesday when you're planning an action, you do not have to get on the call yourself, because we know you are busy. Just give the marching orders to anyone who's in solidarity with you to call in and keep us up to date with what's happening and with anything you want us to announce. You always have privileges of making an announcement. This program is dedicated to Sister Lynn Stewart, and to political prisoners. And we have a special love in our heart for Peltier because of who he is, but even more so because when Sister Lynn was in the death camps, he got word, the prison grapevine, that she was very, very ill because she wasn't getting her meds for her heart, and because she had diabetes and cancer. And Leonard got for her. And well, don't forget who our friends and comrades are. And we thank you for honoring us by joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Kazi. And again, I'm indebted to people like Brother Kazi and Comrade Paulette and others such as New York City Jericho, for always giving me information and contacts as to how to reach out to our warriors on the front line for our political prisoners. Brother Kazi, your mic is open. I understand you may have to leave early because you have a prior commitment, so we're opening up your mic at this time.
Yeah, peace, and blessings go out to Ralph. You know, much love and strength. I hope, you know, he's able to hear the program and pulling through, you know, getting stronger with the words. I just, you know, have about Leonard, you know, they've never been able to find, they haven't found him guilty of anything, you know. It's just like they had to pin it on somebody, so they put it on him, you know, but they never found him guilty of material evidence against him. You know, and I just think it's a shame, too, that in this whole struggle, that Native Americans don't even have a seat in Congress and they own land. You know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, we know how the last 400 or 500 years has gone, and who they, you know, did a Holocaust against right here, practiced genocide against Native Americans, and the same thing they're doing in Palestine right now against the Palestinians. And, you know, it's just the same thought pattern over the last 400 years, you know, and it's leading to uniting the Arab world and the rest of the world against, you know, it might turn into a World War III.
But, thank you. This is why Ralph said we're facing something and we're not aware of how we're drifting into a world holocaust. You know, that was part of what he meant by his opening comments. It's the greatest change ever in 2,000 years, and its impact will be just as the Crusades changed everything, because it meant the extermination of those who, everybody who's non-white. Thank you, Brother Kazi. Any other comments?
I think, you know, following Marquita, you know, that we should be flooding the White House, you know, and, you know, people should be kicking up dust around all of the suppression.
Thank you, Brother Kazi, because you raised the issue of Gaza. Every time we say something in solidarity with the Palestinians, we have got to raise up the name of Leonard Peltier, because it is the same script. This is the script of colonialism. But I won't have to go into that because Brother Sierra was on the line, and I have to give him his props when it comes to dealing with colonialism and imperialism. So on that note, we've got to move on because we've got so many people in the house tonight. I want to lift up Comrade Zaki Baruti. I know, and I see another warrior who's in the house from Michigan, so we're going to have to really watch our time here tonight and get everybody in. Brother Zaki, Black is Back Coalition, would you please grace us with a few words?
Yes, first and foremost, let me compliment you and Brother Ralph for the great show that you're doing, and keep up the great work, and free Leonard Peltier. But, you know, his situation is just a reflection of the evilness of this country under the principles that they go by, capitalism and imperialism. And the only counter to that is the organization of the people and what we really need in this day and age. And I would encourage everybody that's out there and listening to the audience that we need to create armies of righteous people, and it can be in terms of building up the organizational strength of those movements that speaks truth to power and try to uplift our people, and also speak against the evils of capitalism and imperialism. And to that end, I encourage everybody, if you're really serious about what's happening in this day and age, you need to belong to an organization that has a proven history of working on behalf of the people and speaking truth to power. And so to that end, I'd like to just bring my remarks to a close that our organization, which is part of the Black is Back Coalition, Universal African People's Organization, we're trying to rise up our army because we need an army, and we're projecting this spiritual number of 144,000. So if anybody might be interested, they can reach out to our organization office number, 314-833-4151. And Betty, give all my best regards to the soldier, Brother Ralph, who many times has identified this government absolutely correct, a terrorist organization at the highest level. And as I said, the only way that we can counter that is through, as Kwame Ture used to say, we got to organize. And one last comment. This comes out of the 7th Pan-African Congress meeting that was held in Uganda in the 90s, which I was in present. It says, stop agonizing, organize. So anyway, that was
And I have to give Brother Zaki his props, because when Mississippi has a crisis, he is there. This man delivered thousands and thousands of containers of water to Mississippi, and he continues to support our communities. He is his own, shall we say, Black Cross. They have the Red Cross, our own Black Cross, when it comes to any kind of emergency. I also want to salute his courage under fire. When they came after the African People's Socialist Party, Brother Zaki was one of those warriors who stood shoulder to shoulder with Chairman Yeshatela, Omali Yeshatela of the African People's Socialist Party, and said, hands off Uhuru, and he continues to do so. I thank you, Brother Zaki. Please tell him about your newspaper.
Oh, yes. We have a publication that's called the African News World, and you can go and review fast copies of it by going to our website, which is www.uapo.org, and there's a section that you click on for African News World, and you'll see that we be speaking truth to power and just telling it like it is. And it's a damn shame, if I may say, the hypocrisy of America, and as it stands with the outposts of Israel and the genocide that they're committing upon the people. And Betty, also, we had a press conference out here, and my statement, and they put it on the local TV news on it, was no more money for Ukraine, no more money for Israel, reparations for Black folks.
Right on. But Brother Zaki, you know what I say when we talk about reparations? As long as you got these Black misleadership class in critical strategic places in our government, not one dime of Black reparations, because all these clowns are going to do is steal it or give it back. So we got to have a force in there to take control over the institutions in our community. Then the reparations will mean something, because they can't steal. We've got historic colleges. The money is allocated by the federal government to these historical colleges in the South, and then the states in the South, just the governors, to steal it, just like they stole the allocation for the people in Mississippi for their water. They just misdirected funds, and the Negroes in the government allowed them to do it. So we've got to come up with an answer, and that answer is community control where you are. That's how you stop colonialism. You know me and Ralph, that's our line, and we're never going to stop saying it. We're never going to stop. There's a revolution. To take back the dollars that you got coming right now, and then get your reparations, or it'll be just like a leaky bucket. It'll just go right through back to the government, back to the white folks, and they'll have more to kill you with. And Cop City is proof of that, 100% proof of that. Ain't nothing but, I hate to say it, Sambos up there letting this stuff go through. Without further ado, I want to acknowledge Brother Zaki. I mean, his courage under fire has been proven again and again. And he is a fellow educator like myself who fought the system to speak truth to power. And I really respect and honor him a lot for that. Anybody who's teaching our kids and standing up for them, I can't help but love them. So without further ado, I'm going to move on. I see that the Ohio Jericho is in the house. I'm going to give them an opportunity to speak. And thank you, Kazi, again for honoring us with the presence of Lynette Peltier's daughter. I'm leaving her mic open. If at any time, my sister, you wish to make a comment or respond to a speaker, your mic is being left open so that you can do so. All right.
Okay, this is Ohio Jericho over here, and I'm just moved and strengthened and even more determined than I've always been hearing these words here tonight. But let me just begin real quickly by saying that healing thoughts and love is sent to Ralph continuously here, and we're just waiting for him to get out of that hospital and come back and join us and lead us as he has been doing for such a long time. Leonard's daughter, I mean, it almost makes it hard for me to speak. I myself knew Noel Leonard, and we spent about 10 years together behind the federal penitentiary walls out in Leavenworth, and all I can say is that Leonard is not only an outstanding leader and person and man, also just a good individual, a good person. The call to flood the White House with telephone calls, I would strongly, strongly urge everyone to do that. Even if you've called before, even if you signed a petition before, it doesn't matter. Let's all do it more again and more and get everyone that, or many people, if not everyone that you know, to do the same thing. And it's easy to do. Just call the White House and request, demand, however you want to put it, that they free Leonard Peltier. And the White House has a power to do that with the stroke of a pen. So we're not talking about some convoluted process. Joe Biden can do that immediately. And so let's flood them with that call. Speaking of which, also, as this as the genocide continues right now against the Palestinian people by the colonialist Israeli state and its godfather, U.S. imperialism, sending the money and the guns and probably the orders of what to do over there to murder people and children, you know, just so visibly and openly, blatantly, they just don't even care that the world is seeing it, witnessing it. As we step into this so-called holiday that's coming up, which is really almost like the way I look at it, it's like a every year continuing slap in the face, not only or certainly first and foremost of Native people in this country, but of all people of color, certainly of African people that brought here slaves. And so this whole holiday and participating in it is something that I personally have been unable to do. What I do myself is I fast on Thanksgiving, been doing that for about 40 years now. And I feel better and I feel energized by not eating that day when everyone's stuffing their face with all kinds of ridiculous food. So as this day comes, whatever you do, however you celebrate it, I mean, you know, being with family and eating, there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to remember what this holiday, so-called holiday, you know, is what the government tries to make it represent. And really all it is the genocide against the native people of this country, the theft of their land, the genocide of the people. And so this is not a holiday that anyone should have any meaning in it, no matter what you do that day. But just leaving on that note, let me just say that, Ralph, get yourself together. We need you out here. And pass it on and not take too much more time.
No, your time is our time. We always welcome your thoughts. We have a number here, a special guest, I think. The last four digits are 2863. Again, the last four digits are 2863. I know most of us don't know our cell phone numbers when we hear them, but please check your cell phone and see if your last four digits are 2863. Did you want to say a few words? If you're just listening, that's okay too. The first three digits are 774.
This is about Saddam Gaddafi in Boston. I want to send healing energy to Ralph, of course, and certainly to Leonard as well. And same thing regarding Thanksgiving and this so-called holiday, which is truly an evil day that people commemorate. I fast as well. And we have to fast more intentionally, not just from food and the things that we normally abstain from, but referring back to what the brother was saying earlier regarding the armies. It also has to be a time for the reflection of how do we rectify this great evil, this great imbalance, this great sin that must be cleansed in order for balance to be restored on this entire planet for all people. The Palestinians, all oppressed people all over the world have to know that none of us will ever be free until the new Africans free ourselves here and chop the head off the great beast and rip the heart out of the great beast. The body will continue to exist. Its limbs will continue to exist and grow back. So this is the message that we truly want to send to all the people in the world to be able to rectify the problem that we're all suffering under. And we all thank pray you. That Leonard is free now, free to line.
Thank you,
Mama Betty.
Thank you. Those words of encouragement. Wow, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to move right along. I recognize that everybody's time is precious, so we want to go to 8672. I think it's Brother Joel. Brother Joel, your mic is open.
Thank you for this opportunity. It's wonderful honor to be able to participate in this discussion. And thank you, Betty, and especially thanks to Ralph for pulling this all together and leading the expression and outbreak a new way, and it's still a new way of looking at the world that hasn't yet seeped into the degree in which it's a reality upon which we all depend, all our lives depend on seeing it the right way, because and that means seeing it not just from a distance or watching it like a TV show, which a lot of people do, but seeing it and at the same time acting on it at the same time, seeing it all from the perspective of action to revolutionize it, to change it, and to build a real humanity around the world instead of the ways in which if we don't see it right, we end up going into action against each other. And we have to think always in terms of fighting this oppressive imperialist system and not each other. Don't allow us to be divided. The only debates even that we should be having is what is the best way to rise up, organize, and lay this imperialist system to rest and let the humanity out, the real world humanity. Now, we see what's happening now for a month in the escalation of daily genocide in Gaza. And we have to remember, and we have to always focus people's vision on what's happening at home, because those are not just Israeli bombs and everything. Those are U.S. bombs. Those bombs are paid for by tax money collected from the United States, also by money stolen from the rest of the world by the United States and brought into its financial system and then redistributed to finance genocide, which they're trying to do right now. And we see it every day, and there is an unprecedented degree of opposition to the crimes of the Israeli settler colony that has come together at the stimulus of the uprising of October 7th that took place in Palestine, and which and also in opposition to the brutal genocidal retaliation, using it as an excuse. And we have to recognize that if we don't stand up and fight against this and develop solidarity with the oppressed people, that there is no middle ground. Otherwise, we're accomplices who are allowing ourselves to be bought off and otherwise distracted while all of these horrible things are happening. And we have to be, as I said, we have to be organized to take real action. Now, and it's wonderful to see that people are at least taking to the streets, getting arrested by the hundreds for a degree of defiance of the imperialist system, and that this solidarity extends right into the Jewish community. For example, Grand Central Station was actually shut down with crowds of people pouring out into the surrounding streets, shutting everything down in a show of solidarity with the Palestinian people and with much wider visions of what's happening in the world, because it's impossible for this number of people to be rising up and expressing solidarity with things going on thousands of miles away in another country, in another area of the world, without having a global concept of fighting against this capitalist imperialist system. This is what can unite all of us. And I want to say also, to even as impossible as this might sound, that the whole concept of Zionist Israel from the point of view of world imperialism is also a death trap for people that found themselves there in a condition where they've been induced to depend on U.S. imperialism completely, feeling that if they don't, if they lose the support of U.S. imperialism, that the revolution might sweep on over them and threaten their survival. In a way, it's a death trap in the end for the Jewish people, the regular Jewish people, not the leading Zionists and so on, but the regular people who have, who find themselves in the long range in a death trap that they've been induced to participate in making. And it's important that the solidarity come home there, that they also rise against all of the different peoples, including many of their own peoples, that have set them up in this death trap and creating a false consciousness to divide against the imperialist people, the imperialist oppressed people of the world, that many of them had one generation or two generations ago been largely identified with. A large percentage of the anti-war movement in the United States and so on, a large percentage of the civil rights movement and even the black liberation movement, insofar as it was participated in, had a representation from a lot of Jewish people, and they should return to that role. This whole thing right now is a trap, and the only way it could be broken out of it is with that kind of solidarity. And we see that the imperialists around the world, it's not only there, but around the world, we saw that they just maneuvered into power somebody who speaks pretty openly as a fascist in Argentina, and who himself praises to the skies the work that the military dictatorship had done after the U.S. sponsored coup in Argentina for decades. And it's a it's been a long time. Also in Italy, we have an imperialist installed government based on a false election, which has installed somebody in power. Her name is Meloni, I forget her first name, and she's identifies herself as a direct descendant of the politics of Mussolini. So it's getting, you know, a lot of people thought that the word fascism is something that's just thrown around as name-calling. No, it's not that. We've seen what it can be done. We've seen how it's open genocide has been, how they championed it openly, and how it took a world war to slow it down, but how even though they lost the war, in other imperialist centers like the United States, among the British, increasingly among the Japanese, among the French. For example, how do they react in these countries like England? They outlawed displaying a Palestinian flag. You know, this is a country that's supposed to believe in democracy and free speech and all that. But no, they're actually passing laws like that, and other. They're adding to it a section which they, it's in Parliament right now, calling for outlawing extremism, whatever that means. And in France, they've actually outlawed directly, by content, the any demonstrations or protests or activities in support of the Palestinian people in this hour. And in Germany also, people in solidarity with the Palestinians have been brutally repressed by the police in their efforts to demonstrate there. And in the United States also, there's more and more talk about compromising the legality of solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially in this moment of crisis and battle. And I think that that's a sign that we have to be organizing much harder, that time could be running out, and that we have to begin standing up more and thinking more and organizing more and fighting more, bringing it.
Joe, well, I agree. And at this point, we've got some people who want to give reports about this increasing fascism in America. Last week, we had a report from one of our comrades about how the school system is prohibiting students to show solidarity against the Holocaust that is taking place in Gaza. So in the interest of time, while you have touched all of the dots, I was hoping someone would talk about Argentina. If we have time, we'll definitely come back to you, and I thank you. And all of the comrades on this call, I want to say one thing. Obviously, I'm devastated that this is the first time Ralph has ever missed one of these programs, and he has, you know, recovered from the operation. But it is because of people like you that I go on every day, and I thank you. It is because of your existence that I'm able to do anything, and I appreciate that. The solidarity is what's going to make a difference. And if you don't hear anything else from Joel's message, that's the one you need to hear. The fascism in Argentina, the fascism reemerging in Italy, the fascism that has always existed in England, as far as I'm concerned. And so without further ado, I want to go to our comrade in New York City, Jericho, and I want to thank you, Joel. When you're not on, we miss you. So we hope you'll take care of yourself, and Ralph sends you special greetings. Thank you.
Oh, I feel very honored by that. Thank you.
Okay. Sister Lisa has been, I'm sorry, I'm going to Sister Lisa, and Reverend Pinckney has a special message for us as well. But I want to make sure New York City Jericho and the director of that chapter, Ann Lam, has a chance to talk, because she has some special information for you on how you can support Sister Marqueta Peltier with Leonard Peltier's defense. Sister Ann, thank you for waiting. Your mic is open.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Betty. And, of course, I'm sending love and healing energy to Ralph, to you, to Ralph's whole family. You know, been burning the sage here and on sending healing energy way in his way. Yes, the number to call at the White House, very important, is 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. They're only open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday through Thursday Eastern Time. Howsoever, if you go to jerichony.org, right on the first page, you have a whole little thing there about Leonard, and you can also e-message the White House. You can sign the petition calling for Leonard's release, which has been signed by many people. You can tweet Biden. He has two Twitters. You can tweet him at both. You can read a couple of updates about what is happening with Leonard. So that is extremely important. We must bring this brother home. Enough is enough, as we say. And now, speaking of the day of mourning, since we're talking about American history, United American Indians of New England every year celebrate the annual National Day of Mourning on so-called Thanksgiving. And this will be the 54th year that they are doing this up in Plymouth Rock in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And every year they dedicate this to Leonard Peltier, and Leonard always has a statement for this day. So if you go to their website, which is UAINE.org, United American Indians of New England, UAINE.org, you will be able to watch it. They're going to live stream it. It's going to start at noon on Thursday, because not everybody can make it. And then you can also, if you want to go, there's going to be some buses and transportation, which is also listed on their website. There's a bus from Jamaica Plain, Boston. There's a bus from Brooklyn. There's a bus from Yankee Stadium. So, you know, there's ways to get there if you really want to go. So, and if you can't make it while you're fasting on that day, I also fast on that day, you can watch the live stream of the event on YouTube. So very important. And lots of folk go to that. I've gone to it many times myself. I will not be going this year because I have to catch up on other work. But they do talk about the lies and fairy tales of U.S. imperialism, which, of course, are the same lies and fairy tales that the Zionist entity tells. And I also just found out, and I'm very happy to see it since we were talking about history and the lies they tell us, Amistad's literary revival program has decided to reprint this wonderful book from 1972 called No More Lies by Dick Gregory, which is fantastic. I am going to order it. I had the original one many moons ago, and one of my nieces was interested in the lies and fairy tales, and I said, here's a great book for you to read, when she was in high school. And she took it into her class, and they were all studying it. I never got it back, which was fine. I said, look, share it around. It's more important that you young folk learn these things, right? So I'm very happy to see if you go to mahoganybooks.com, you can order it. Fantastic. Only $18. And then we also have, quite unfortunately, another brother who is in really dire straits, which is Kevin Rashid Johnson, who was just transferred back quite brutally from where he was at Sussex One in Virginia back to Red Onion State Prison, which is where he had previously been, you know, horribly, horribly treated. If you go to jerichoonline.org, it's right on the front page. They want people to make some phone calls, very important. Demand that Kevin Rashid Johnson, with his number, be returned to Sussex One so he continue his treatment for cancer and potential congestive heart failure. Okay? This is serious. You know, you've got to move him from someplace where he was actually finally getting much delayed treatment and put him somewhere else and where he's already been, which has been horrible. He's also not getting his mail, and recipients are not receiving his mail. So there are people there to contact, the director of the Virginia DOC, the institutional ombudsman, right, or person, I guess, since she's a woman, and also demand no out-of-state transfer, because they have transferred the sheet all over the place over the years because, you know, he's a little thorn in their side, as they say. And certainly write to him. Whether he's getting the letters or not, we should write to him. See if they return it or not. See what's going on with that. And, you know, flood the prison with mail for Kevin. Rashid Johnson, known as Rashid. Great artist, great writer. You can go to his website, rashidmod.com, and you can see all of a lot of his great, great artwork. Also, his report is up there about this horrible abuse of transfer. You know, it was really awful. In addition to being left to suffer over 7 hours in a sweltering van with burning flesh, erratic heartbeat, chest pain, hunger, and dehydration, I was made to ride in a quote-unquote Freddie Gray van, a transport with bathtub, steel benches, and walls, with no padding or protection against being banged against its surfaces while the vehicle is in motion. Prisoner injuries in these vehicles are common. Indeed, they have every purpose is to inflict pain and injury. You also had to suffer a bunch of racism from the guards, calling him the N-word. They had soaked him up with a whole bunch of gas before they even took him anywhere, tear gas, which they say the federal courts have established that 4 to 6 grams is an estimated lethal dose of gas when sprayed in a closed-in cell. He was sprayed with over 100 times this amount from two canisters, one of them a 46-ounce fire extinguisher-sized canister. So you can see that, you know, this sort of repression and horrible stuff goes on everywhere, but it certainly goes on every day in the U.S. prison system. So, you know, this is very important. And I also wanted to say, you know, one of the best acts of solidarity that I have seen, speaking of Palestine, was these Yemeni folk who went and decided that they were going to take over this cargo ship in the Red Sea because it's transporting goods to and from the Zionist entity. And they were like, that's not happening. And it's now anchored somewhere in a port in Yemen. And I said, now there's some real solidarity, right? So, of course, what happened? The U.S. now is going to try to declare these folk to be a terrorist entity. The terrorists always want to call everybody who fights against them terrorists. But I thought that was fantastic. I was watching it, and I said, oh, my God, they have video and everything. This is great. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't do anything violent. They just took the ship and said, you are not going. You're not going where you think you're going. And that just happened either yesterday or today. I said, oh, this is fantastic.
Anyway, well, thank you, Anne. I want everybody to know that she has been making extensive reports, sending out extensive emails on updates on the Holocaust in Gaza. And she's also carrying some of the stations that are coming out. Most of you won't be surprised to learn that there is a total media shutdown about not, they're not allowing the reporters there to get news out. So people like Ann and Jericho website play a tremendous important role. Thank you, Ann. We're going to try and get back to you because you might want to tell them some of the articles that you've sent out. Just give them the title so that they can Google New York City Jericho and look them up. Without further ado, we want to go move on to one of the warriors who, from the minute Sister Lynn went to prison, made his program available to Comrade Ralph, and Ralph never forgot that. This is also probably the only brother who went to jail for quoting the Bible to a judge. Reverend Pinkney, your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
And thank you so much. I just want you to know that I love y'all very much, and I've been praying for Ralph continuously, me and my wife, and we want you to know that, you know, we care. We care. Also, I stand with Leonard. And also, I stand with the Palestinians people. And I don't like those fake Jews that's running around here, people calling them Jews. And to me, they're fake. They're not the real deal. And anybody that the United States stands with, we know that there's a problem. But let me say this. What would the world look like without racism? You see, I've been a victim of racism when I was in prison. I was a victim of it. But what would the world look like without it? You see, as a people, you know, that we have been traumatized for over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping of the men and the women, even to this day, you know, and we talk about the Black Holocaust from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery, over 35 million was killed. And here's the thing. Native Americans, over 10 million Native Americans were killed, and they got the nerve to call them savages. I don't like that. I don't stand for that. I stand with the people, and that's what I do. That's why we have set up this thing, the award for black people. We call them Sambos, and we're giving out the Sambo of the Year award to Sambos, and we're going to put our Sambos up against your Sambos. That's how we're going to do this. So if you got some Sambos, I'm willing to go the limit and put my Sambos up against yours. You know, my Sambos got 25,000 votes. You know, that's more than most elections in wrestling in this community in 4 or 5 years. But the key is a Sambo is a person who has been robbed of themselves. You see, they don't even know who they are. They sit on councils. And their job is to make that white man happy. They don't care nothing about you, me. They don't even care about their own children. You see, you know, some folks just love master more than a master love himself. Master don't have to do anything. All he had to do is sit back and watch these soundboats work for him. And the truth, you have a purpose. Anyone who has a pen, you must finish your mission. Nothing supersedes the mission, and that's why it's so important. I wish that every single community around this country should have the Sambo of the Year Award. And what we'll do, we'll play each Sambo off on other Sambo. So we got to make sure we're calling these people out, because there's nothing more important than telling them who they are, because it's obvious they don't know who they are. So my thing is this. I'm here today. We want to talk a little bit about history. We talk about the Holocaust. We talk about things that happened. But look, I say this to each and every one of you. I stand with the Palestinians. I don't stand with them fake Jews. They fake. They ain't the real deal. They want you to believe that they're the real deal, but they're not. And on that note, I'm going to turn it back over to Betty. Betty, that's all I want to say. Make sure you give Ralph my love, and I love y'all. And Black is back. That's my team. I love everybody, but we're going to fight this battle to the end. Nothing supersedes the mission.
Yes. You see, one of Ralph's favorite sayings is, no people have ever been enslaved without the connivance of some of their own. The Vietnamese had to fight the Vietnamese. The Irish had to fight the Irish. And so it goes on and on and on. And while we're talking about that, I want to recommend people revisit the book, The History of Zionism by Ralph Schoenman, if you want to understand the foundation for the genocide that you are looking at. And I want to remind you that this is intentional, what is happening, because they took away a lot of the ability to teach from our brother Ward when he made a statement that the Palestinians should be careful. And he made this decades ago, because their map was beginning to look like the map of the First Nations here. And after Ward Churchill said that, many of you know, he lost his ability to teach. I think Mr. Marquetta knows that history better than I do. But that tells me that they know what they are doing when they don't want anyone to speak truth to power. So thank you, brother. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. And again, I will always remember how much it meant to Ralph to have that outlet on your program to tell people about Sister Lynn. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you, too. I love y'all. And you know, anything I can do, you call me. I promise you I'll be there.
All right. I love it. Sounds like the old-fashioned rock and roll songs. I love it. Okay, without further ado, we've got someone who always attacks colonialism, and when they speak truth to power, you can understand it. And I want to thank Brother Sierra for getting on, because his help has been a challenge. And I hope people can hang in there. We've added a few extra moments to the program. I want you to hear Sister Lisa's report. But for many of you, Sister Lisa is the one that encourages me in my struggle with medical institutions. If it was not for this program and Ralph's insistence that I do it, I want you to know I would be sleeping in that hospital. I would not leave him unattended American medical institution. All right, but I salute him. And he's got several family members there who are very skilled at what they do. So I'm doing what he asked me to do this evening. I'm hosting the program for him. Brother Sierra, talk to us about colonialism. Your mic is open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. We still can't. If you're talking, we can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. That's loud and
okay.
Clear.
You darn mic. I got a did you know question here. Did you know that some colonizers are called dictators, which is code word for can't control them? Did you know that for Africans, we get colonial brutality, terrorism, through the brutality in an ongoing cycle? It's we will kill you or we will jail you. We've seen it all through the walks of our lives. I've listened on the program tonight to Sister Peltier, the granddaughter of Leonard Peltier, reaching out, constantly stating to all of us, we have to take a collective stance. We have to become a force of one. We have to become agency. We have to become that collective that Brother Kazi was mentioning when he says organize. We have to become that focal point of leadership for ourselves as agency, so that we must go forward and may go forward without impedance, but we have to do this again as a force of one. Now, I would love that we all would be in agreement, because everybody on this program I've ever listened to, Brother Joel, Brother Henry Hagan, of course, Professor Louis, heard Reverend Pinky tonight, listen to all of these heads, leaders, leadership, as we all are. But when we become a collective and a force of one, not speaking of me, my, or I, or what I've done, it's not about me. It's a revolution. It's time for us to take those steps necessary as a collective and mean it, because we're in those times when you mentioned the genocides. I'll say this, and I'll be real brief, because I wanted to discuss the genocides in both the Sudan and in Congo, and I'll say it in brief. And I got this from an article from Migrants Rights Network. As the world watches in horror at the atrocities in Palestine, we must acknowledge that too little attention has been paid to the genocides unfolding in other parts of the world.
Right on.
In Armenia, Congo, and Sudan. At MRN, we all speak, or always speak, I should say, speak up and use our platform to raise awareness of any situation, whereas it goes on within the realms of the Congo and Sudan and other places. The Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, continues to suffer the legacies of colonialism and imperial interventions. The Congolese people have been colonized, enslaved, murdered, and systematically oppressed by Belgium to extract its resources. At least 10 million people died under Belgium's rule. Even after Congo gained independence, Western governments and corporations have continued to intervene and create instability. This is the sham, the game, and we see these hocus-pocus moves that are being made. AFRICOM, we see the hocus-pocus games of you getting blamed, Reverend Pinckney getting blamed, Chairman O'Malley Yesitella and the Uhuru 3 getting blamed, and doing what? Going to prison for life simply because we spoke up for freedom and being free. And I'll say that in my closing. I would love everybody to go to and get involved. Together, we must do this as a together. Hands off Uhuru. Org. And when you go there, go to the things that you would get involved with to help move this movement, this revolution forward. I say that, and I salute everybody that's been on tonight. I love you, Brother Ralph. You're a powerful, powerful leader. Some strong, powerful shoulders, a black man in the U.S. to stand on, you and Sister Betty. I salute Uhuru. Go to handsoffuhuru.org. Go to the needs that you can address. We all need help, but let's become that collective, that force of one. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Brother Sayero, thank you so much. One of the games they play is a chess game. While we're focusing on Gaza, they're wiping out Niger. And when they finish wiping out Niger, then they'll go back to Gaza. Some of the articles that New York City Jericho has been sending out, before the program ends, I'm going to list some of the articles that Sister Ann Lam has been sending out to the public regarding Gaza and what's going on there. It's the same strategic Holocaust techniques that are being used in Africa. Thank you, Brother Sarah. I was hoping you would deal with that. All right. Brother Henry, thank you for your patience. And Sister Lisa, we've got to have your report. I didn't forget you, but I want to give you a special acknowledgement. Brother Henry, thank you for your humor. Ralph is very amused at some of your emails. Please share your wisdom with us.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and all of our guests and supporters. I just wanted to say, in regards to Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, they are illegally locked up because of their heroic examples. This is what the imperialists fear so much about these men, that they have principles and a legacy of resistance and inspiration to oppress peoples everywhere.
Right on.
In September of this year, Prensa Latino covered the story of Cuba's president Miguel Diaz-Canel addressing the Harlem and Upper Manhattan communities at the Malcolm X Betty Shabazz Cultural Center, formerly known as the Audubon Ballroom, citing the historic meeting between Fidel and Malcolm at the Teresa Hotel 63 years earlier. Educator, historian, and author Rosemary Mealy wrote a book about the meeting some 30 years ago entitled Fidel and Malcolm, Memories of a Meeting, secondarily published by Black Classic Press or www.blackclassicbooks.com. Folks owe it to themselves to pick up a copy. Rosemary Mealy is an adjunct assistant professor at City College of New York and Center for Worker Education. Professor Mealy has been honored by her community involvement on numerous occasions and was the recipient of the prestigious Claudia Jones Fellow in the African New World Studies Program at Florida International University in Miami. Mealy has lived and worked in Cuba, where she collaborated on several projects in support of U.S. political prisoners with Assata Shakur. She is also an activist in the international human rights and political prisoner movements. And you may be able to find this book at Black Classic Press, www.blackclassicbooks.com. The book itself is at least 20 to 30 years old. I'm surprised at the length of time. But if you can, it's a book that's worth reading, and you find out that these two freedom fighters, these two giants, were men of integrity and resolve. And I'll just leave it at that in the interest of time.
Well, we thank you, Brother Henry. And again, thank you for your notes of encouragement and humor to Brother Ralph. He's really
my pleasure.
And we apologize for misspelling your name. If I wasn't so dark-skinned, you would see me blushing. Thank you.
Hey, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Without further ado, I want you to hear this report by Sister Lisa Davis of the Black is Back. She's our vice chair of the Black is Back Coalition. But in addition to that, I want to thank her because I have a traditional view of medicine. And from time to time, she has been very supportive in my concerns for Ralph. And I have to say it, when I came in this morning after two operations, he looked splendid. And he was talking, and I think he kind of overdid it because you saw the essay he gave me to speak on this evening. He recited that essay to us. So I'm asking you to be on alert, because if he has anything to do with it, he will be back. But I want to thank Sister Lisa for all her words of wisdom these past few weeks. Sister Lisa, your mic is open.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, again, I can't say enough how I appreciate this program, and I appreciate everything everybody has said. I really do, and I appreciate their work and their life force. And also, I'm sending nothing but love and healing energy, literal healing energy, to our warrior comrade, Brother Ralph Poynter, and all that you do, my dear sister Betty Davis. I'm so honored to share your last name. That means we surely blood. I know we blood some kind of way, definitely. But I want to give a brief report about what is going on in West Orange, New Jersey, the high school there, and the school board and the mayor, because about a couple of weeks ago, I think at the end of October, some young students, high school students, wanted to show support for the Palestinians, for Palestine, and they wanted to have their protest, you know, walk out the school or whatever, and they were stopped, and basically they were accused of promoting violence and genocide because they said free Palestine, and because of that phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. So there was a board meeting, I think about 2 weeks ago, and there was a large turnout from the community, from parents, from people who were pro-Palestine saying, we are not having this. And I'm so glad to announce that tomorrow the West Orange students will be protesting and walking out. And we will be there to stand with them, and even more importantly, to give a message to that community, because from what I understand, the students were receiving threats from, they're referred to as Zionists or whomever, you know, is pro-Israel supporters or whatever, from adults. And I want to let them know that ain't happening. So it's so important for the community to be there and turn out very strongly for our revolutionary young people. And these are the times we live in. These students got to know what's going on. You know, there are no babies right now. There are no babies. They got to know. And these students in the next couple of years will be the ones who will be voting and who will be expected to carry on from this horrible mess that my generation is about to pass off to them, you know. And we can't have that. I want to let them know their voices to stand strongly with them. And just in terms of the day of genocide, it is a playbook. We are seeing the playbook that was used to massacre the indigenous people on Turtle Island. We're seeing that happen in Palestine. We're seeing the playbook that they used when they enslaved us and tortured our, tried to torture our ancestors. The same playbook wherever they've gone throughout the world. And this time, though, because they always throw some religion in there, but this time they're using the religion of Judaism. And I know that there are so many people who have been standing up who are Jewish, who say that Israel does not represent them. You have rabbis saying Israel does not, they're doing. And I just wanted to just, you know, share that. And also to just say one thing. When they talk about, when they see violence and from the river to the sea, which we know that that's just about erasing the history, erasing our history, erasing the history of the Black liberation struggle, erasing the history of the Palestinian struggle, because we always talk about freedom and our longing to be free, and they find that violent. But what they're really doing is projecting their violence onto us. They are the ones with the violence, with the history of eradicating people from sea to sea, and that's what they mean when they say from sea to shiny sea, eradicating all non-white people from coast to coast, and that is their history and what they've done wherever they have been, and they have no right to project their violent history onto us, because, and the Palestinian people who don't have that kind of a relationship at all to history or to life, they don't. They've never said anything like that, but the colonizers have. So I just wanted to just conclude with that and to say thank you so much. Uhuru.
Uhuru, we thank you and we congratulate you because we know that you're reporting to different institutions. You held some of these Negro politicians accountable. And I want to open up the mic for Sister Ann Lamb, who's been so patient. You know, everybody on this call has work that they must be doing. So she, more than anybody I know, is always working. Recently, she has not been well, but she's soldiering on. Ann, I want you to give the telephone numbers for Peltier again. And one of the messages Ralph Poynter always gives to the Democrats is if you vote for somebody and you don't get a return for your vote, then you've been punked. You're a political slave. So why should we keep putting Biden back in if he can't even free Leonard Peltier? And our message is the same one for reparations. The number one reparation demand, if they want to show good faith, is to free all political prisoners. And this includes the latest political prisoners coming out of Cop City. Sister Ann, you want to give us that information for Peltier again? And then if Comrade Peltier would like to take us out, we would appreciate it if she still feels like speaking. Sister Ann, your mic is open, and thank you for waiting.
Okay, the number again for the White House hotline to put the heat on Biden to do the right thing and free Leonard Peltier, which he could, as one of his attorneys said at one point, he could sign that clemency on a napkin, and it would be perfectly acceptable. The number is 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. It is open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays through Thursdays. And if you call and don't get through, if you go to jerichoandwhite.org, you will see right on the front page Leonard sitting in a cell there with an eagle flying out through broken bars. It's one piece of his artwork, I believe, and it's beautiful. But there are other things you can do. You can e-message the White House. You can sign the petition. You can tweet Biden. He has two Twitter accounts. Tweet them both. And you can also snail mail the White House, which wouldn't hurt either. So all that information is right there. But really important to keep the pressure on so that this could finally, finally happen. There have been too many presidents who have not wanted to do the right thing, going all the way back to Clinton.
Oh, Ann, could you also tell if they want to join the protest against the Holocaust holiday on Thursday?
Well, here in New York City, people will be meeting at Union Square at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, which is the day they shut it down for Palestine. Let me make sure I have that correct. I got it right here. Let me just open it.
Okay, Maketa, if you're still with us, did you want to give some parting words?
Yes, I just want to, again, thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of my father. And again, you know, thank you to Comrade Lisa for all the information. And I just want to say, you know, unity is the key here. We need to unite and fight together as one because we are fighting a beast that's not, you know, going to back down until we stand shoulder to shoulder with it. And that's going to take unity. We got to free Leonard Peltier. We got to free all political prisoners. Again, thank you. Prayers to you and Ralph. And solidarity prayers to everyone out there.
It was a pleasure meeting you. And if you feel up to it and you have time, tell others about calling in tomorrow. And when we talk about people who are sacrificing family. Mimi Rosenberg has on WBAI been doing some tremendous programs on the slaughter in Gaza, and I want to lift her up because she is sacrificing her family. Thank you, Sister Ann. Did you have that number?
One more thing is it's not in Union Square. It's Washington Square Park. 10 a.m.
All right.
Shut down for Palestine.
All right, Brother Kasi, we want to thank you for arranging this program for us this evening. And we wish the best to your family.
Yeah, Ma.